Welcome to the Antioch Christian Ministries podcast. We hope you enjoy this message from Pastor Gary Armelie.
So, Father, I thank you this morning for the incredible level of worship we've had in this house. Lord, I just rejoice when we get to praise you and give you what you so deserve. Our love, our worship, our adoration, our hearts, our full focus. So, Lord, thank you. Thank you for being here with us. Father, I pray that you would bless this word this morning and let it come across the way that you want it to come across. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The title of my word is Choose to Walk Circumspectly. Okay? Choose to walk circumspectly. And I wrestled with my message, very much so, and but I believe it's what I need to bring right now, and I hope your hearts are open to hear, and that you would receive kind of the warning that's in here for all of us as believers. Ephesians 5, 8 to 22, and I always use a lot of scripture, so I hope you have your Bibles with you. Ephesians 5, 8 to 22, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. To finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake, you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly. And that means in a careful and prudent way, discreetly. Not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. So Paul is addressing the Ephesian church. And they're living in very difficult times, probably very much the same way as we are. There was tremendous darkness all around them. But because they accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior, and had been washed in the blood, they're light. They're light in the Lord in the middle of dark circumstances. He tells them they are not to have any fellowship with darkness, but rather to expose them. The presence of the Lord in their lives is to shine light into what's dark in people's lives and show them a different way. That's no different than what we are doing in this hour, is it? The presence of the Lord in our lives will cause other people who don't know the Lord to question. And so, you know, how do I become like you? How do I have a life filled with joy like you? He encourages them to find out what the will of the Lord is, which is something we need to do every day. But he says to them, awake, you who sleep. So there were some asleep, or they had been lulled to sleep. Okay? And we can all be lulled to sleep. We really can. It's easy. And so I think this morning the heart of my message is to alert you to make sure you've not been lulled to sleep. And to make sure I've not been lulled to sleep. So as if you were to study Ephesus, you would see that they are like a university-level church. They have a lot of revelation, and yet they're the ones in the end who've lost their first love. And so we need to be just aware of what the message is here. He tells them they need to walk in truth. Walking in truth means to bring our lives into conformity with God's revealed truth. And we need to stand in the truth of God's word every moment of our lives. It'll help us to discern what's happening all around us. It's our measuring stick, the word. That's not right. That doesn't sound right. For reading an article, no, that doesn't line up. That's not what I've been taught. It's not what the word says. And so the truth is crucial in this hour. And we've taught about that here. I'm not telling you something new. But in Matthew 7, 13, they're told, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go by it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. And there are few that find it. And salvation is a free gift. And everybody can find salvation. That's our free will to accept or reject Jesus. But the road to walk in the way of Jesus is a little narrower. We can be saved and walk on a broad road and do exactly like the world does. It's not the road we want to be on. We want to be on the narrow road, right? Second, I'm going to read you a few scriptures, and then I'm actually going to jump into something which is what's been a burden on my heart. 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. For what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? 1 John 3:4, everyone who makes a practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. And this final one, which everybody immediately just puts as an end time scripture. And as we do that, we miss some of the key things that are in there to help us walk. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. The mystery of lawlessness has been at work since the foundation of time, since the garden. And Jesus came to destroy the works of the evil one. And on the cross, he defeated that. But who's kind of the keeper of it all now? We are, right? And so it's up to us to make sure that thing is held at bay. I want to show you some things that this mystery of lawlessness, the spirit of lawlessness does, so you can recognize it. This is more almost a message of equipping. You know, if need be, write it down. So this is some of the things that it does against believers, okay? So this is sitting in the heavens. The earth, we need steward. In the heavens sits a lot of stuff that most of us don't even understand, and we should. And then there's the heavens of the Lord. It works to stop the effectiveness of the gospel. It's through us that the word is able to be sent out, preached, revealed through our life and how we walk. This spirit works relentlessly through the spirit of religion to stop the Holy Spirit from moving in our midst. And so, you know, religion is always knocking at the door of places where Jesus and the Holy Spirit have the freedom to function. So we need to be alert to that, right? We personally can come under that spirit. And this morning, we had glorious worship. And we want to keep it that way, too. It keeps people from an intimate relationship with the Lord. It keeps us busy and distracted, so we don't have time for the Lord, and he becomes just an add-on. It keeps us offended with one another. I added this one in last night as I was praying about this again. So there's no unity, and we know there's huge power in unity. Amen? There's unity in here this morning, just in the worship alone. And it removes the boundaries and absolutes of truth. All the laws that have been passed in Canada regarding sexual identity, euthanasia, abortion, homosexuality, just to name a few, that's the removing of boundaries. Those are absolutes that were put in place by the founding fathers as they based our nation structure on the Word of God. They're all being taken out. There's different words for lawlessness: iniquity, simple, legalism. So what is it exactly? It's a lifestyle or a mindset without rules or ethics. Look around. Borders of right and wrong become non-existent. Would you say that's where we're living in the world? Truth becomes relevant. It is left to our own personal interpretation, whatever we think is right. Doctrinal truths and boundaries are deemed unimportant. Let's just get rid of them. They're too confining. Experience is embraced ahead of biblical reality. And sin is no longer defined and becomes a matter entirely left to personal preference. Everyone does what is right in their own eyes. Judges 17, 5 and 6 says, in those days, there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Help, Lord, right? It isn't hard to see what's happening. So how does lawlessness affect the church? We want freedom in the spirit without any accountability. There's a lack of submission. And I think for a lot of pastors, the past season of COVID, because people were locked up, and so the internet became a source of teaching, which isn't a bad thing if you have good discernment. But they also saw all those people that preached as their pastors and their own pastors no longer were really needed. They were pastored by the internet. It's happened in a lot of cases. And so nobody has any accountability to anybody. Lawlessness affects prayer, praise, worship, teaching, and relationships. So this spirit entity is very busy in our world in this hour, and it has escalated in the last 5 years incredibly. Yet, in the middle of all of that, God is shining his light. The church of God is moving forward. Amen? But it is pushing relentlessly. We need to understand that, what we're up against, because I think often we're feeling it and we don't know what it is. Okay? The push to go in a certain direction, and we don't even recognize its pressure in the spirit realm. So one of the areas, there's three areas I want to touch, but one of the areas this probably more principality attacks is conscience. So 1 Timothy 4, 1 to 3. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. So let's talk a little bit about conscience. What does it do? We're all born with conscience. What does a conscience do for us? Well, it alerts us to the difference between right and wrong. You know, I wasn't born again when I was little, but I went to church. And I was given religious classes, right? And we were in the Catholic system. But I have to say, they taught us right from wrong. And boy, that little conscience of mine, I remember going into a department store and stealing a little pencil sharpener. It was a little airplane. I wanted it so badly. Well, I got so convicted at a very young age, I went back and quietly put it back. I could not walk. I mean, it was this big. Didn't matter. I've been taught right from wrong, and stealing wasn't part of that picture. And so conscience constantly alerts us from right and wrong. The conscience contains the borders of truth, which lawlessness is fighting to remove. And see it with all the laws that are being made. We heard our moms share last Sunday about how they're teaching their little ones about God and how they're putting biblical foundation in them. If that's not done in the home, then with all that our children are now being taught in the school system, they won't know right from wrong. If parents don't lay a solid foundation in their children of the boundaries of truth, they have nothing that helps them realize this is wrong. This is not what God says. And I remember when our kids were going to university, they went to Windsor, and they come home and they would share, this is what we've just been taught. And at that time, feminism and abortion was being pushed hard at the university. Well, they sat at the table with us, and we just talked about it. You know, they were able to openly share with us, Mom, this is what we're being taught. Dad, you know, what's the truth here? And so conversation happened, and the boundaries of right and wrong were established. No, this is what the Word says. That's wrong. So parents have an incredible responsibility in this hour to teach their kids from baby up to when they're ready to leave the nest, to have them established in the truth. The conscience is where we acknowledge that there is a God. Today, many people, if you're an evangelist, Jill and Judy can tell you, you go out in the streets, Jesus? Who's Jesus? The Bible? What's that? No concept of anything. Nothing. It's all been lost. The conscience is the God-given moral consciousness within each of us. The conscience is seared, literally cauterized. You know, when we have a bad nosebleed, you go in and you have it cauterized. So it stops bleeding. Well, it's scar tissue. So it's been rendered insensitive. Such a conscience does not work properly. It's interesting that Paul would put that in. It's if spiritual scar tissue has dulled the senses of right and wrong, then how do we know, right? What's right and wrong? Just as the hide of an animal scarred with a branding iron becomes numb to further pain, so the heart of an individual with a seared conscience is desensitized to sin. And so how this works, it's very, very simple. You know, I'm going to use television or, you know, media. And so you're a believer and all of a sudden something pops up on your screen. Curiosity killed the cat, you follow the rabbit trail. But before you even do that, the Holy Spirit is trying to convict you. Don't do that. Don't go there. That's what the conscience is for. It brings conviction, right? But we go anyway. Well, then it happens again, and again the Holy Spirit nudges, and again we just let it drop. After 3 or 4 times, or maybe a dozen times, that area is seared. The conviction doesn't happen anymore. And in that area, we're left to our own devices. It's like a branding iron going on that cow, but that cow doesn't feel there anymore. You don't feel the conviction anymore. And so, you know, we're living in a time we have to be so aware that we have to listen to the Holy Spirit. Are you with me? He directs us constantly. Don't say that. You know, don't gossip about that person. Don't go to that place, you know? That's his job, right? He's the hound of heaven. But he does. He teaches us, and he nudges us not to go there. A good conscience has the capability to tell right from wrong and is free of guilt. A person with a good conscience maintains integrity. He enjoys fellowship with all those that walk in the light. When a conscience is seared, there is no conviction of sin. At first, the Holy Spirit warns, and we talked about that. Because of the vileness of the media today, many are believing lies. And so we have to be alert. And you have to recognize what's behind it. It's a spirit of lawlessness that wants to steal your heart. And unless we're aware, we could get seduced. The prime target of the spirit is believers. Lawlessness is targeted primarily at our hearts. It goes after the intimate relationship we have with the Lord. The spirit wants to mold your thinking and have influence over you and eventually control you. The drug world is a prime example. It is a world out of control. And the hold that drugs has on people, even after they get born again and they go for counseling, it's incredible. Do we need a move of spirit like never before? Because they need to be set free, but they need to be set free more than once or twice a week counseling. Because you can walk, and again, I'm pointing at Jill and Judy because of ministering there and walking with them. They can tell you, they can walk with a person for a couple of years and they're free. And get them into an apartment, get them set up, get them going in the right direction. They feel so loved as they come in to the center. And then someone, an old crony, comes along and begins to influence. Spirit of darkness begins to work. And pretty soon, they're back into their old lifestyle. Or they get walking with the Lord in a powerful way. And then they get water baptized. And after they get water baptized, we've seen that one over and over and over again. Someone comes along and begins to pull at them. See, that spirit is after our heart. It wants us desensitized and into a lifestyle of darkness. And so the church has to be so alert and say, I recognize this. Every human being is born with a conscience, but that spirit whittles away at it little by little. Eventually, there are no boundaries of right and wrong. Marriage. Look around. How many young people still want to get married? Right? That's a boundary that's broken down completely. How many homes have 2, 3, 4 fathers walk through the door, or men, where kids are abused and they see things in they should never see? Now they're seeing it in school. That's a spirit of lawlessness at work. And we can stick our head in the sand and pretend it isn't there, but reality is, if we're really going to walk in the light and bring the light everywhere, we're going to be confronting this stuff. Right? Okay. Matthew 24:12 says, "And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold." So in the Passion Translation, it says this, "There will be such an increase of sin and lawlessness that those whose hearts once burned with passion for God and others will grow cold." And it is very visible that that's happened. Then it says, but keep your hope. Endure to the end and you will experience life and deliverance. Yet through it all, this joyful assurance of the realm of heaven's kingdom will be proclaimed all over the world, providing every nation with the demonstration of the reality of God. So in the middle of all of this, as our eyes are open and we are alert to this and we retain our intimate relationship with the Lord, and that becomes our highest priority, and we just, our focus is Jesus, then we endure. And I was looking up, look at Ephesians 6. How many times does it tell you to stand and stand again and stand again and stand again, right? It's all there for our instruction so that we'll run the race to the end, but not only that, get through by ourselves, but bring all these people into glory with us, because our lives have been so tangible with the love of Jesus that they want what we have, right? Right? All right. So in the middle of darkness, the kingdom keeps expanding. Not only is the love of many waxing or growing cold towards others, but it's waxing cold towards the Lord, most of all. Pastor Jay's been preaching about what does love require? You know, I keep records of all the sermons that have been preached. I find it very interesting what God keeps trying to bring into our midst. He really has been trying to lay foundational truth. He really has. There's no mistake about it. And Pastor Rod, when you taught when I was away about the different soils, God's trying to really equip us to stand and to recognize the stuff that's being thrown at us where we have to stand and withstand. So we need to keep hope at the center of our lives. We have to understand that we have been given tools to destroy the works of the evil one. I mean, we have incredible tools. God hasn't left us just here. Well, you're safe. Go ahead and figure it out for yourself. We have been equipped. Come on. We have been equipped. If we never had a preacher, if we have the Word of God, we have been equipped. The Holy Spirit would teach us. Amen? How else in foreign nations where or places where they preach maybe from a couple of pages and it's all they've got, and they preach from that, and when they come back years later, there's a whole church that's developed. The Word works if we're in it. Right? It works powerfully. I think it's the story of the heavenly man. They recopied and copied the little bit of Bible they had. That was China, right? Yeah, I haven't read it in a long time. It's worth reading. And that's how they spread the gospel at the risk of death. They were unstoppable. They couldn't be stopped. We've got multiple Bibles in their home. Lord, help us to pick them up in this hour. So lawlessness is aimed at the heart. We've been given one commandment, John 13, 34 to 36. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. And so, keeping vibrantly alive and loving people with the love of Jesus. You know, when people that are in desperate places, and I've heard them share it in here, I felt like liquid love poured over me. God came and he just poured liquid love over me. I felt the warmth of the Lord come around me. the love of the Lord is not waxing cold. It never will. And as we need that hug or we need that healing or even deliverance, that love wraps itself around us. You know, he is so loving and so warm. It's only as we love the Lord that a life of faith and holiness can be walked out. The love of God sacrifices for someone else, but lawlessness despises when the love of God is visible. Lawlessness is me, me, me. It's all about me. I'm the only thing that matters. But the love of Jesus pours into others. I think of you ministering to a neighbor, Jay, not too long ago. You know, just desperate. And she knew where to call. Right? That's the way it's got to be in our neighborhoods. So that spirit attacks our conscience. It attacks our passion for the Lord so that we wax cold. The third thing it targets is prayer. It hates prayer. Because it is through prayer that we co-labor with the Father. Dominion has been restored to us, and it is through us that the darkness gets pushed back. I want to share a couple of quotes with you that I found pretty amazing. William Booth, founder of Salvation Army, was asked what the chief danger was that would confront us in the new century. He wrote, quote, "In answer to your inquiry, I consider that the chief dangers which confront the coming century, which would have been the 19th century, not that where we're at now, this far back, I consider that the chief dangers which confront the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, politics without God, and heaven without hell." Wow. Beginning of the 1900s. Can I read that again? And it's not, I'm not doing this to be a heavy. I want us to be aware of what we're up against. You know, we got a half-empty church. Like, why? God shows up all the time. I don't get it. But this thing is working. Now, this is a long weekend. I get that. But it is working awful hard. Right? We gotta be aware of what's going on. I consider that the chief dangers which confront the coming century will be religion without the Holy Ghost, Christianity without Christ, forgiveness without repentance, salvation without regeneration, meaning transformation, politics without God, and heaven without hell. Of course, nobody's going to hell. There is no hell. Why would a loving God make a hell? As believers, we're called to be equipped to partner with God in the battle to see his kingdom come here on earth as it is in heaven. There is a spiritual battle going on all around us. And we are equipped warriors battling for the hearts and minds and souls of men and women. If we're not supposed to be involved at all, why would God fill us with his Holy Spirit? Why would he? Give us his authority? Because we've been given it. And then fill us with power. Resurrection power. The power that took Jesus out of the grave is in us. It's in us. So why would we let this thing advance? Prayer is a strategic weapon that is crucial in the battle for the advancement of God's kingdom here on earth. Quote from Bill Johnson. God has chosen to work through us. We are his delegated authority on planet Earth. And prayer is the vehicle that gives occasion for God's invasion. Those who don't pray allow darkness to continue ruling. And that's from When Heaven Invades Earth. So the target is prayer. Everybody's busy or... Anyway, Jesus came to destroy the works of the evil one, 1 John 3:8. We are his representatives here on earth. And first of all, our job is to overcome evil, deal within our own hearts. Can't minister to somebody else. Like, I can't pray for someone who's anger-ridden. If I have anger, devil's just going to go, you think you have authority? Ha, ha, ha. Deal with your own issues first, right? Now, that doesn't mean God will never use us in some situations, but if I have a rage problem, I need to get rid of that thing. And there's room at the altar for that, on our knees. And then maybe we do need deliverance, you know, because that thing is hassling us, or it's a generational spirit. There is such a thing, you know. Yeah. There is. All right. George Mueller. Anybody know who George Mueller is? Few people. All right. George Mueller, again, early 1900s, founded an orphanage in Bristol, England, that cared for thousands of orphans in the 19th century. He was a man who understood the power and importance of prayer. And he wrote this, I live in the spirit of prayer. I pray as I walk about, when I lie down, and when I rise up. And the answers are always coming. Thousands and tens of thousands of times have my prayers been answered. When once I am persuaded that a thing is right and for the glory of God, I go on praying for it until the answer comes. Now, he fed thousands of orphans. He was a man of incredible faith, and he did not tell people what his needs were. He prayed it in. And, you know, he had to feed all these kids, and milk trucks would break down in front of his place. Bread would come from wherever. You know, he just had that incredible level of faith, and it was done through prayer. But the bigger thing that George Mueller did, if you read his book, he gathered a bunch of students together during World War II when Britain ran the risk of being invaded by Hitler. And he went into prayer, and they prayed, and they prayed, and they prayed. And they overturned the assignment of the enemy through Hitler in prayer. I want that kind of authority. Amen? How can we leave this nation with this incredible level of call on it to get into the hands of darkness? But it can't be two or three people, church. We've been whittled down to four or five in the prayer room. That's pretty tough going. And last Wednesday night, there were how many of us? Six? Something like that. Prayer is crucial. It's crucial. If we don't pick up the mantle of prayer, then what? This area where we've been planted by the Holy Spirit is dependent on the prayers of the saints. We're not the only ones praying, for sure. Because I'm hearing of other churches that have people showing up for prayer. But we have a mandate to pray. Praise, worship, and prayer were the mandates God put on us. I'm going to read you one more. And I forgot I had this book. But I'm so glad the Holy Spirit reminded me of it. Secrets of the Argentinian Revival by Edward Miller. You remember that when that was here? Robert Miller came, the son of this man. Before Argentina could experience massive revival, the strong man of lawlessness had to be disarmed. The Lord used a young immigrant student, Alex, from Ukraine, to begin to be burdened in prayer for the nation. And I see how God is moving on young people in this hour in many places to carry the burden of prayer. After many nights of prayer, Alex experienced an increased level of the presence of God. And then a glorious celestial being came and stood beside Alex. Now, if you were to read the actual book, it says it terrified this kid to no end. And he went running off back to the Bible college where he was a student. But Alex didn't realize that the angel went with him right into the college. The city was Bell. The Bible students were impacted by what happened. Only those who could see in the spirit realm could see him, the angel. But the presence of the Lord became so tangible that everybody knew something had changed. So on June the 5th, 1951, 50 people, students and teachers, Edward Miller being one of them, began to be impacted and began to repent for the sins of the nation. Slowly, the great cry of God took direction and a deep cry for the holiness of God to be granted. They cried for a deep hunger and a thirst for righteousness and an ever-increasing hatred for sin. Hour after hour, day after day, for 10 to 20 hours, for 10 weeks, which is with its ever-heavy burden, flowed like a river. Talks about one young man standing with his head against the wall, and he cried so hard, it was a cement wall, he cried so hard that it made a river running down the wall, and then a pool of tears at the bottom. He did that day after day after day. Now that's a Holy Spirit coming on you. You can't manufacture that. But one young kid began to pray because God saw that he had a heart to be burdened. And then he knew that there were a lot of others. The word came alive, prophetic came alive as God had the freedom to move by his spirit. They cried out for the strong man of religion to be broken. Argentina was mainly Catholic, and it was riddled with the drug cartel. It was not a safe place to be. The country was filled with crime, but God was about to move in this nation. But before God came in like a flood with revival, the back of lawlessness had to be broken in prayer. And it won't be broken any other way. Same thing has to happen in Canada. And there is a lot going on. There's the firewall, there's different things going on where people are praying. But the momentum has to pick up. A lot of stuff going on with our government that we need to pray about. But two or three people can't do it. So let me ask you this morning as we get ready to go into communion, where are you at? Are you asleep, distracted, busy? Have you succumbed to that spirit? Have you been seduced into getting involved with stuff on the internet you shouldn't be anywhere near? I can't answer that for you, obviously. I can only answer for myself. Have the boundaries of right and wrong disappeared in your life because of the assignment of the enemy? It's one step back, right? It's seeking forgiveness from the one who we are supposed to represent. You know, Graham Cook has a saying, Lord, forgive me because I did not represent you well in that situation. You know, when we lose our temper with somebody, forgive me, ask the person, but ask the Lord. Lord, I didn't represent you well. Make me more like you. But I think the heart of this message today is, where have we been impacted by the Spirit? So as we get ready to take communion, I'm not going to do an altar call, but I'm going to ask you just to take a couple of minutes to reflect. Ask yourself, Lord, where have I let that in? Where have you become just an add-on in my life? Where has prayerlessness hit me? If you don't have communion elements, the ushers are moving around. Just raise your hand. So, Lord, I thank you this morning that when you went to the cross, you took the punishment for lawlessness. Father, for every sin ever known to man, you took it all. You took all our iniquity. You took all our shame. You took all our guilt. Lord, you already paid the price in full. So, Lord, you want us free. So, Lord, we look back to everything you have done on the cross. And, Lord, we remember what you did. And we appropriate your sacrifice right now. We say, Lord, forgive us for any area where we've wandered that was out of your will, and now we're riddled with shame and guilt, or, Lord, we're dull, we don't want to pray anymore, or, Lord, you're just an add-on in our lives, we're so busy. Lord, forgive us. You paid for it in full. And, Lord, today we receive, Lord, your cleansing. We receive your forgiveness. We thank you, Lord, for your body. We thank you, Lord, that we can appropriate everything like it was the first time. And we receive it now in Jesus' name. Let's all partake. And Lord, you made covenant with us. We're in the new covenant. And you seal that covenant with your blood. We're new covenant people. We're people filled with the Spirit. Lord, restore the boundaries of right and wrong in our life. Lord, renew our conscience so that it's vibrant and alive again. And Lord, where we've let the standard of prayer down, Father, I pray that it becomes a burden in our hearts to pray. For you have given us the ability, the gift of co-laboring with you to turn our nation around. So, Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for covenant relationship. Forgive us where we let the standard down in prayer. We receive your encouragement and strength this morning to pick it up again in Jesus' name. Let's partake. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Jay, just close. So, Father, I pray that you bless us this week. You always do. But Father, I pray that you would help us to be so alert that we would see when this thing is trying to come against us and we know. That Father, we would take it to you in prayer. We're friends and children and loved ones who've gotten ensnared in all kinds of stuff. You've given us the capacity to pray them free. Give us tools, give us keys, Lord, how to set the captives free. And Lord, may we find hope and joy in the middle of it all. Father God, as we see, Father, you move in Jesus' name. Amen. There is prayer at the front. Amen. You know, church, many years ago now, but we had an awful lot of prayer for our nation. And I remember being in that prayer room one day and praying. We prayed together for God to move in a particular way. Very next day, it was plastered on the front page of the paper. I remember praying for the customs officers at the border and their job and their alertness to be alert because there was a lot of drug trafficking going on. The very next day, they caught a truck full of drugs that were coming into Canada. It was stopped. We think we don't have power. I mean, that's just two out of the history that we have. It's huge what God will do. Amen. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. If you'd like to learn more about Antioch, you can visit us online at antiochcanada.ca.